On the Lord's day, he heard a voice from heaven, and this is what he said. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Behold, I live forever. Behold, I live, behold, I live, behold, I live forevermore. Hallelujah, behold, I live. Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful is in Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus, my Lord, wonderful? Isn't he wonderful, wonderful? Wonderful is in Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in God's word. Is in Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. Is indeed wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Is in Jesus, my Lord, wonderful. See, is the word what's recorded in God's word. Is in Jesus, my Lord, wonderful.
Amen, amen. Maybe we can sing once more. There is the chorus. He is an answering God. Amen. Brother Andrew, if you can come to stop in the prayer and commit everything what will be said and done into his hands. Amen. Thus, keep your petition in front of him, brother and sister, this evening. He is your answering God this evening. Amen. Let's sing that song. Amen.
Hallelujah. He's an answering God. Hallelujah. He's an answering God. When I pray in Jesus' name, and by faith the answer came. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah. He's an answering God.
Say from my heart, I don't know if you can say the same, but if you had to ask me where I'd want to be tonight, anywhere, make my choice, I'd want to be here. There's no place I'd want to be but apart from being in glory. So obviously that should be such a wonderful thing, but it's good to be gathered to welcome everybody to the new service. We have Brother Wim, we're going to be starting the preaching first. He's going to finish his course. Once he finishes the first course, looking forward to some specials, some testimonies. Then we're going to have Brother Eli. He's going to come, take over the baton, take the next stage of the relay. Then we'll have a few more testimonies, some more worship, and then we'll get to Brother Max. Brother Max will be taking the last of the preaching. After that, then will come the time of worship. Then we'll come to communion. We'd like to just come to the new year, consecrating ourselves to the Lord in the communion service. Like the prophet says, he said, it's such an appropriate thing to do, to take communion at the beginning of the year. So I think it's a real sweet thing to do. And then for the young ones, if they can hold on until that time, we've got some presents that we want to give out to them after the communion service. But we'll make a deal. We'll give you a present as long as you can stay awake. If you're asleep at that time, I'm not too sure whether we'll give you the present. So try your best to stay engaged. You know, so we do appreciate the Lord. Now we are singing there that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Imagine entering into this year if you didn't know the Lord. Imagine you don't know what's coming your way. You don't have the uncertainty. You know, the future is shrouded in darkness. It's a mystery. What a great thing that he's given to us, the opportunity to continue to walk with him. That no matter what the new year holds inside of your life, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. So we should really appreciate the grace that is upon us. That we can appreciate him for this year that lays behind us, but we look with an expectation by his grace to be with us. So if you have a desire before the Lord, let's unite ourselves. If you want to put it in your heart in prayer, just raise your hand to the Lord. Father, how glad that we are to be here, thinking of David saying, one thing have I desired, and that will I seek after, that I may be gathered with the saints in the house. And Father, you've allowed us another year. Father, we used to think those years back that surely we wouldn't see the year 2000. Then, Father, we thought we wouldn't see this and we wouldn't see that. But we find ourselves, Lord, coming to the end of this year. Father, we thank you for this. Thank you for the good things in this. We're singing about you being an answering God. How thankful that you be. We so appreciate, Lord, your goodness unto us in this year. Father, we thank you for your patience. We thank you, Lord, for grace that is in us. We thank you for your long suffering, Lord. We thank you that you've watched over us. Lord, as the song says, grace is done to you. And Lord, we thank you that your mercy is on you every morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you can gather as your people upon this night in this year. And the greatest thing that we desire is to finish this year. We long to finish this year and to enter the new year in your presence. So if there's anything, Lord, Father, between us and you, anything that could grieve your presence from us, Lord, let your blood speak to them. Father, Lord, I know there's a perfect atonement that's been made for us. And we plead the blood upon this night, Lord. We just apply the token. And ask you, Lord, that you'd wash away every guilty spot and thing, Lord. Father, let the heavenly God come and lead, Lord. Bless the song leaders that they would lead the songs, Lord. The ministers that would open up and break the bread of life unto us, Lord. Bless your people upon this night. Minister to the needs of your people. Every request, Lord, that people have raised their hands upon this evening, Lord. Father, grant us grace that as we come into the new year, we might look back and come into the same place with a testimony to say, surely he's an answering God. So bless our proceedings upon this night, Lord. Will you set the agenda, Lord? Will you have your wonderful way? And as we come to the end, Lord, as we pass from this year into the next year, we leave this place where you said we're free to be in the house of God. Father, let your will. Father, we want to commit the service to you, them that are still on the way. We commit them up. Father, be glorified in our midst. Be glorified in our worship. But Emil is asking the church to bring in prayer Pastor Pamphil from Romania. Let's just remember the brother right now. Sorry, I didn't see that one there. And Heavenly Father, we bring unto thee this pastor in Romania. Father, he's your servant. Surely your hand has been upon him in his life, Lord. Surely you've led him and guided him through many things. Father, you've used him, Lord, to feed your people. You've used him to shepherd your people. And now, Father, he's in need of you. Father, you have made it so clear unto us that if we are about your business, Father, you'll take care of ours. That, Father, when, Lord, we've done all that we can do, Father, we look unto thee for sovereign grace to stay. So we ask you of thee to minister to this need. Whatsoever it should be, Lord, Jesus, may you meet our brother in the point of need, we ask and pray. Father, raise him up, Lord. Touch him in his body, Lord. Intervene on his behalf. Whatever his need is, Lord, we lift our brother up unto thee. We unite ourselves together. And we ask of you, Lord, that, Father, your mercy would be upon him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Song says, Jesus has us. Tables spread. Amen. So that's what we expect this evening. Let's sing that song. Let's keep it TC. Is that okay? Yes. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people come and fit and supplies of our every need. Oh, this fit sup with Jesus every time. Come and dine, the master call it, come and dine. Stay up all the time. The multitude disciples came to land, that's obeying Christ's command. For the master called unto them, come and die. There upon their heart desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Bread, spider hungry every time, yes, he satisfies. Call it, come and die. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. Yeah, open the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry, call it now, come and die. Him will take his bride. Assembled be, oh, twill be a glorious sight. Saints in spotless white, and in Jesus they will be eternally. Come and dine, the master call it, come and dine. Feast that Jesus they understand. So there are some items here. Should we put even now some items? It's 5-2. 25. Okay. It's 25. Okay, so we can maybe sing that one, the master of the wind. Amen. I know the master of the wind. Amen. That's very important, brother and sister. Amen. My love, see, there is a wind in my sail. I have a friend who watches over me.
must obey.
Silas praising his name in difficult situation, brother, sister. We have peace. Let's praise his name. Bless his name. Amen. In prison's chain, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night. Their chains are loosed, and they even pray. I bless your name, I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in the prison in your mind, and praise defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor, I give you praise, you are the light, the truth, the way, I bless your name. So if you find God in your life, you're in the prison in your mind. I bless your name.
Bless his name tonight.
Amen.
The Lord has been good to us this year.
True.
It's been a great year, moved very fast.
Amen.
But I'm very thankful to the Lord for the things he's done this year.
Amen.
Many of them behind the scenes.
Amen.
But we will see the results of the things the Lord has been doing in this coming year.
Amen.
And we just want to praise him and to thank him tonight. I would like to read a few verses in the Bible. Singing about Paul, I'd like to read a few things that Paul wrote in the book of Galatians. We will begin with chapter 4, verse 13 to 17. Verse 13 reads, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel, even as Christ Jesus." Paul had an infirmity in the eyes. It was a very unsightly thing, but the people didn't look at that at the beginning. But in verse 15, we find something has changed. "Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy? Because I tell you the truth, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. Again, he writes in the book of Hebrews, if we turn to chapter 10, that was to the Galatians. Here he's writing to the Hebrews. Verse 32, I would like to read. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great flight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, Lord, to read your word tonight, Lord, to read of these things and to see what Paul went through. Father, that it may help us as we enter into this new year. May your grace be upon your people tonight, Lord. May your grace be upon me. Help us, Father, that we may enter into that place where you want us to be tonight. Bless your people, Lord, and may you bless the reading of thy word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. I don't know if you are keeping time, brother. And I'll try to keep to 45 minutes. So we find here Paul in two places. The first is talking to the Galatians. But here, this letter to the Hebrews, he speaks that you have need of patience. And he's calling to the former days to say, do you remember the former days? Because in the former days, these saints here, they endured a great deal of affliction. But it never moved them from their resolve to serve the Lord. It never moved them, no matter what the external forces would do. These people, they were on a mission. But a few years later, because he's writing it and he's still alive, this is 70 years, less than 70 years, something had happened to the saints. All of a sudden, they were lacking patience. All of a sudden, they were not looking anymore at that point that they had when it was at the beginning, to the point that Paul has to write them a letter to say, I call to your remembrance the former days. Because they had moved away from a certain place. Something had happened to them that he had to write a letter to them to say, my soul has no pleasure in a man that draws back. Mine. And if you think to say, what had happened for a brother or a sister to draw back after God had called them to a life of service, after God had called them to a place where they can minister to other saints, but Paul here is writing to them to say, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And what is drawing back? When somebody is set on a certain course and they are determined to reach the mark, but before they get to that mark, something happens to make them to draw back from that, to withdraw themselves. This is what had happened to the saints here. No longer could they endure afflictions the way they did at the beginning. Something small, just a small little thing can move them. Whereas at the beginning, people were so willing to sacrifice whatever that they had just so they could make it to when Paul was preaching. But after some time, that is no longer there now. Something had happened to the point that they don't want anymore to endure even a smaller affliction. And Paul is writing to them, say, my soul has no pleasure in a person that draws back, because the saints were drawing back. Now, Jesus speaks of the same kind of a person. I want to come back to this drawing back. But Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 9, if you want to read it with me, he speaks of a similar kind of a person. In Luke chapter 9 from verse 61, we find something happening there, maybe from verse 57. A man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 57, and a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow you wheresoever you go. And Jesus answers this man, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. And we never heard anything about this man again. But another man comes to Jesus and he says, no, Jesus himself go to another man and say, follow me. But this man says, suffer me to go and bury my father. So this man wanted to go home, not that his father was dead. He was going to wait for his father until he dies, then bury him, then answer the call. But the third man is very interesting because he was there when the first man came to the Lord and said, Lord, I will follow you. But this man disappeared. The second man was called by the Lord himself to say, follow me. And he said, I want to go home and bury my father. Maybe it was going to take years. So hearing all those two cases, this third man, it moved him. Because he came and said, and another also said, verse 61, I will follow thee. But then he says, but let me first go bid them farewell. So his motive and intention were very good, this brother. Because he had seen this one wants to go home and stay home for years until his father dies. But I'm not going to be that kind of a brother. I'm going to follow the Lord. But Lord, let me go and say goodbye to my father and come back. Wouldn't that be a good, nice thing for a brother to do? You know? But listen to these notable words that Jesus answers to the man in verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. My, that's very hard words to say. If you put your hand to the plow and look back, you are not even fit for the kingdom of heaven. And what does Jesus mean when he says that? That you put your hand to the plow. Many that come from Africa might know what is to plow with a plow in the field. When you are plowing in the field, you take your plow and put your hands like this. Maybe it's kettles that are drawing it, but the first thing you put in your field determines a lot of things. So when you put your plow in the field, as a good farmer, you set for a mark that is on the other end of the field. You choose your own mark. That's the beauty of it. But the problem with many people is when they choose their mark, a good farmer chooses a mark that doesn't move. Because you are interested in putting a straight line from where you are to that mark. Amen. That first line is going to determine the rest of the lines in the field. Nobody wants to plow a field, and then when people look from afar, they see spaghetti throughout all the field. It shows you are not a diligent farmer. So as a diligent farmer, as a diligent son of God, you want to plow your field in a straight line, the first one. So you set up your mark, and you better make sure that your mark is not a grazing cow on the other end of the field. That's the problem with many Christians, is that we set our mark on an object that is not stable. But the only stable object, which when we start to plow our field, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we must set our mark. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So when Paul is not following Christ, why should you follow him? When Brother Wilmore is not following Christ, why should I be your mark? Your mark should be Jesus Christ. Because today I can wake up feeling good, it will affect you. Tomorrow I wake up feeling bad, it's going to affect you. And after a few years, you're going to begin to see, my field is not straight. Because when you are plowing and you set your eyes on the mark there, and you start plowing and moving towards that mark, Jesus says, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, this brother is not leaving his plow and going somewhere. He's only looking back like this and then turning back again. The problem with that is you are taking your eyes off the mark briefly. And when you do that, it causes a small kink in your line. Not even noticeable. But if you go to the end and then come back, you are following that line, that small kink is going to become bigger and bigger and bigger. By the time you are doing the 10th line, it's a spaghetti line again. No wonder Jesus says, no man, having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. He's not even leaving the field. Just that little kink. Remember the prophet when he speaks about shooting a target. And you aim for the target, but from the beginning you just maybe 1 inch this way, maybe 1 millimeter. It will miss the target every time. That's the trouble. But if tonight, if we can set our eyes on the mark that is not movable, I am sure all the mistakes we have made in 2018, we will not make them in 2019. Once our mark is set up on the right place. Now, what about a man that draws back altogether? As Paul says. Because this man here that Jesus is speaking about has only looked back. But what about the man that draws back altogether? No wonder he says, my soul has no pleasure in such a man. Because it's got deadly results when people draw back. If you go back to that scripture again, you'll find that he says, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Because that's what drawing back does. It brings you unto perdition. And we are not that kind of people that draw back. And there's different kinds of drawing back. And I'm glad the many kinds of drawing backs that I'm going to mention briefly here, we have not seen them in this church this year. And I'm thankful to God for that. Because people can draw back from the calling in their lives. God has called you to be a Sunday school teacher. But because maybe this sister didn't really understand that I was supposed to teach Sunday school teacher today, and you draw back because of that. That shouldn't be the case, because we are not of them that draw back. Or you could be a musician and you didn't understand something and you draw back. You know? But we didn't see those kinds of drawing backs. Or you could be just a Christian, like we are all Christians here. And somebody comes and you think they're preaching about you or something and you draw back altogether from the Lord. Drawing back only brings you to perdition. But we are not of them that draw back. But there's another drawing back, which is not as noticeable as these other drawbacks which I have mentioned now. And this is the kind of drawback that I want to speak about a little bit. Paul, that we read in Galatians, he experienced that kind of drawback from the believers, from the Galatians. Because at the beginning, these Galatians would have done anything for Paul. They loved him. All their resources they put towards maintaining Paul. Regardless of how Paul looked, these Galatians, they loved him. But because in the process of time, something happened and some people came and affected them zealously in the wrong thing, they began to hate Paul. They began to look at him as an enemy. So what did these people do? They began to withdraw themselves from Paul. They drew away from Paul. And Paul rises to say, what has happened? At the beginning it was like this, but now what has happened? They might become your enemy. And that kind of drawback, we find that it's so stealth, it happens among people and nobody will ever know about it. Maybe you used to laugh to come and fellowship at Brother Wilmore's house. But because maybe he said something and you withdraw yourself. That's the kind of drawback that I'm talking about. And that's the kind of drawback that I'm praying we don't see in this year that is coming ahead. Because the people withdrew themselves from Paul. But they never stopped going to church. They never stopped having service. They never stopped serving the Lord, ministering in this place and that place. But they just withdrew themselves from Paul. When he is with them, they might say, God bless you, brother, and so forth and so forth. But when in their heart, really, they had withdrawn themselves. And that kind of withdrawing yourselves from people, from other saints, is a deadly, deadly thing. Amen. Because it also leads to fatal consequences if you don't watch it. Because sometimes maybe God has anointed you to be the one that helps that brother. Yet you withdraw yourself from him. And that person ends up in more trouble than they could have had you not withdrawn yourself from them. And many times we are guilty of those kind of things. And I thought tonight that I might have a message that is centered towards that. I'm sure we will have more wonderful things that make us happy. But tonight, don't make me your enemy because I tell you the truth.
Amen.
I hope you love me better tonight.
Amen.
So that's what happened to Paul, that they withdrew from him. And this, we praise the Lord that Paul was a solid man standing on the word of God. Because he could have easily gone into depression or something. When you serve the Lord ministering to the saints and then people draw back from you, it can affect you badly. That's what we mean by deadly consequences. It can affect you in a way that you don't expect. And there are grounds where we must withdraw from people. In the book of Thessalonians, I think it says, withdraw from any brother that walks disorderly, that continues to walk. So a brother walks disorderly, you go to him, brother, this is wrong. And he keeps doing that. Then we must withdraw from that. But many times we withdraw from people just for selfish reasons. I have told him he doesn't listen to me. So you withdraw yourself from him. You know, she is hard-headed, that sister. No, she's a hot wire. You touch her, you get burnt. Is there somewhere in the Bible which says, let's withdraw from people that are difficult? It's just because when things become a little bit difficult, and they are forcing us to take us out of our comfort zone, we want to withdraw ourselves. It happens with fathers and their wives. Become a little bit difficult, they withdraw. I'm not going to deal with this. Mothers and their daughters, she becomes a little bit difficult, they withdraw. So it affects every sphere of life that we can withdraw, yet it's not biblical in any stretch of imagination. Yeah? And if you want to know where that spirit comes from, it's from the devil. Because I have one example here. And the devil has already an agenda from that person that you are withdrawing from to try and kill that person. Really? Because it happened in the life of David and Uriah. You know the story of David. That one day he made up his mess. And Bathsheba ended up pregnant, you know? David was tired, I suppose, maybe. And he ended up taking Bathsheba, and she was somebody's wife, and she got pregnant. And David made up a plan and said, Uriah, come, send Joab, send Uriah to me. And Uriah came home to the king and gave a report. And then the king says, go home and wash your feet and be happy at home. But that brother was not the kind of brother that draws back, because he was determined to serve the Lord. Uriah knew the Ark of the Covenant is there out there. My fellow brothers are fighting the wars of the Lord. I'm not going to let them down and go and sleep in comfort in my house. No. He was a brother that would not draw back at all, even at the command of the king, because David said to him, go home and do this and that, but Uriah would not do it. Even when David gave him beer to drink and he intoxicated him, the man was an honorable man. And when David saw that, he says, well, you see where that spirit came from? Was that of the Lord? David, at that time, was anointed of an evil spirit. He let an evil spirit come upon him, because the Bible says he looked and he saw a woman washing herself. And he asked to say, whose is that one? Who's that woman? Say, it's Uriah's wife. Say, bring her to me. Can you imagine a man of God? Well, the thing with David, why he was so after God's own heart, he was a man that could repent. David, when he realized his mistakes, he could thoroughly, thoroughly repent. And I pray tonight, when we come to a place where we also see that, yes, I think I have withdrawn a little bit from brother so and so and so. We may be like David, but he let that spirit cause him to write a letter to Joab and say, set this man in the hottest part of the battle and withdraw from him, that he may be killed. You see what the agenda of the devil was with Uriah? To get the man killed. And David let that spirit come upon him and let Uriah be killed at the writing of David. That's what happens when we withdraw ourselves from brethren. Maybe the devil has an agenda towards this brother and towards that sister. And you just feel all this and that, and you withdraw from the person. Yet it was you who were supposed to be the person God was going to use to help that brother. And if it is like that this year, when we look and assess ourselves to say, have I withdrawn from any person this year? Because only you can know what you used to feel for this brother and that sister. And when you compare that with what you feel now, it is only you who can know to say, yes, I have withdrawn myself. It is not from the Lord. I must mend my ways. And that's what I'm praying for this year. So how do we do this then? Because some people can sure be difficult to deal with. How do we keep dealing with people that are very difficult? The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I found, just in my regular way of maintaining my soul, I came across a quote that the prophet was speaking on, and it really touched me the way he spoke, if sister don't mind to put for me there. Because without faith, as long as we are looking by sight, we will see that a brother is difficult to deal with. As long as we are dealing by our natural means, that's what happened to these people that were drawing back. At first, they were walking by sight, but it came to a place now where they were walking by faith, sorry, and it came to a place where they dropped faith and they began to walk by sight. But if we are to not withdraw from people this year, if we are to walk in a way that is pleasing to the Lord and be our brother's keeper, then this is how we are going to do it. The prophet says, you see, faith sees what God wants done. God wants the saving of souls. That's what he's interested in. And if we walk by faith, that's what we are going to see. We are going to see what God wants done. The prophet says, I hope this goes in. And I'm praying that this goes in for you too. Faith doesn't look at the present time. So if a brother is difficult to deal with, don't look at the present time. The moment you are looking at the present time, you are not looking by faith. Faith doesn't see that. Faith doesn't see this here. Faith looks to see what God wants with that brother. The Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish. So why do we come to a place where we are willing that a brother should perish? So faith sees, looks to what God wants, and it works accordingly. So no matter how difficult a person can be, as long as we are looking at it by faith, there's no way we can give up on them. There's no way we can ever withdraw ourselves from them. Faith is a long-range vision. And he compares it to binoculars. I think you have used binoculars. You don't use them to look around here. You don't use binoculars to see what time it is. You don't use that, but you use binoculars to look a way off. A way off. So when I look at a brother here, I don't see him here struggling here. I see myself sitting with the brother in heaven, amen, having fellowship. So regardless of what can happen between now and then, as long as I keep my eyes on that, then I'm not going to withdraw from the brother. Faith does that. It picks up God's binoculars, both of them, both sides, the Old and the New Testament, and sees every promise that he made. Faith sees it out yonder. So when these Galatians stopped looking at Paul by faith, no wonder they could withdraw from him. Because they were no longer looking out yonder at the promises of God. And that's why the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When you look at God's promises without faith, Because Jesus speaks and says, blessed are you when men persecute you. You need to look at that with faith. If you look at that with anything else, not faith, it can be very hard to endure the persecution. Faith sees it out yonder, and faith chooses that regardless of what the present tense says here. So as a mother, and your children are giving you trouble, don't look at the present tense. Look at the day when they will get baptized. Keep your eyes on that. Look at the day when they will get married. You keep your eyes on that. There's no way you are going to give up on them and withdraw yourself from them. But the moment you find you are looking at the present tense, it will be easy to give up on your children. It will be easy to withdraw from the brethren. It's easy to withdraw from the calling that is in your life. He don't drop his sights down to look at it this way. He looks yonder. He keeps the crosshair dead center on the word. That's why Paul says, I press towards the mark. His mark, when he put his hand on the plow to plow, was dead center on the word. And his line was straight. And when we read every other line in the life of Paul, it's a straight line. But many of us, we have kinks here, kinks here, kinks here, until it becomes a mess. Why? Because we have not kept our crosshairs dead center on the word. So this is how we can achieve it. And I thought I would bring this short exhortation to you tonight to help us as we go into 2019, that let us not withdraw from one another. Let us not withdraw from a brother or a sister because they are difficult. Let us not withdraw from our children. They are your own children. Let us not withdraw from our husbands or from our wives because they are your own. Let us not withdraw from the calling that God has called us with. And let us keep our eyes straight on that mark as we ask our musicians to come up again. Amen. 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 Beyond the curtain of time, and you saw all the wonderful things there. And then he had to come back again and he asked, do I have to turn back now? And the voice spoke to him, said, yes, but keep pressing on. Amen. That was 1960, many years ago, nearly 60 years now. And the message is more urgent now than it was then.
Amen.
Keep pressing on.
Glory.
Not only in your Christian walk, in every aspect of your life.
Amen.
Keep pressing on. And that is the message we have tonight, is to keep pressing on.
Amen.
If you are a musician, keep pressing on.
Amen.
If you are a deacon, keep pressing
Amen.
On.
Amen.
The Lord has made you a shepherd in your family, keep pressing on.
Amen.
Just look at the end goal of those
Amen.
Children.
Amen.
They are your crown. They are stars in your crown.
Amen.
Look at the people around you in your neighborhood, keep pressing on.
Amen.
The evangelism work, keep pressing on
Amen.
Every aspect of your Christian life. The message is keep pressing on.
Amen.
And then at the end of it all, like Paul said, there's laid up a crown for you. If we keep our eyes on that by faith, dead centered on that word, that is true, it will come to pass. Let us pray.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, Lord, for the things you have done for us in this year.
Amen.
Lord, you have been good and wonderful to us, Father. But if we should say that we have been faithful throughout the year to you, Lord, we will be liars, O God. So we pray tonight, Lord, in the face of this word, that you help us, O God. Father, to examine ourselves, Lord, in the innermost parts of our hearts and see, Lord, where we have failed thee. And help us, Lord, with your grace, Lord, tonight, that as we enter into the new year, may we resolve, O God, that if anybody else's love is cold, mine will not wax cold. If anybody else's, Lord, desire or resolve to serve you, Lord, has dimmed, mine will not dim.
Amen.
When the spirit of Laodicea has come, Lord, and the slumbering has entered in, Lord, help me that, Father, I would be that one that will remain not slumbering, but awake, waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. Grant us this grace, O God, that, Father, the people that we influence and those that look up to us, Lord, may you help us, Father, that we may be our brother's keeper. Lord, help me that I may be a better husband in this coming year. Lord, a better father, a better brother, a better deacon. Lord, to serve you, Lord, with all my heart, Father. If there be any sphere of my life where I have pulled back, O God, where I have withdrawn, Father, may you help me, O Lord, that, Father, I would rise up again, Lord, and stand in the post of duty. May you grant grace unto us tonight. Bless, Lord, your people. Father, with the remainder of the program, we commit it into your hands. May you watch over us, O Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.